From the trails, woods, and waters of the Great Lakes State to the Michigan Talk Network, it's Wild Michigan with your host, Duran Martinez.
Welcome to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, all over the Great Lakes State via the Michigan Talk Network and all over the world via our website and podcast that you can get absolutely free from our website, wildmichiganradio.com. Very happy to have you here. We are getting closer to the real spring. We had like that fake spring for a short time, but now we're like getting towards the real spring here in Michigan. Very happy to see that. A lot of open water, a lot of unsafe ice, dare I even say, to probably not go out in a lot of areas, and even more so in others, because, you know, people going through saying, boy, glad I had a float suit on. Well, what if you didn't? What if you didn't have that float suit on? People probably wouldn't be having that, gee, I'm glad I had a float suit on conversation, but probably we don't even need to be having that conversation, because you don't need to take a ladder to bridge to the ice that looks almost safe, but really isn't from shore. So, again, this is me just, you know, throwing a little common sense out there. I want to thank our friends at Not Just Guns, Cedar Street at 127 in Mason. If you need ammunition, man, they've got ammunition. And don't be afraid to hit them up on the website, notjustguns.com. Lots of ammunition in stock and at fair prices and readily available. If you got 9mm, 223, things of that nature, you want to shoot and you don't want to pay the big box stores the over crazy prices, go to notjustguns.com or see them in Mason. Also, our friends at Conquest Scents and, of course, the United Deer Farmers of Michigan. Getting ready to talk to those guys here in the next couple of weeks. But right now, we're going to speak with David A. Rose, one of our favorite outdoor writer types and all-around good guy. David, how are you, sir?
I'm doing fine, catching up. I'm a little tired, I'll say, but starting to catch up on life here. I've been gone for a couple weeks.
And then it's been a couple of weeks because it's funny because my wife says, oh, David posted pictures of these fish. I mean, look, this whole Facebook thing, I've really gotten away from the following except for my business groups. But, you know, which fortunately she's friends with a lot of my friends, and I get to catch up that way. And you were down in Florida, is that correct? No.
I was very close to Florida. I was in Orange Beach, Alabama, basically. Yes. So in 12 minutes, I could be to the Florida Panhandle. Yep.
So that's like what I call real Florida.
Yeah. True.
And not the southern portion that the East Coast has so readily taken over.
Correct. But
you're the Florabama area. Yep. And what kind of fishing were you doing down there?
Well, you know, I just love surf fishing and doing all kinds of fishing. And when it comes to salt waters, I'm very novice at it. You know, I can hold my own in freshwater, but, you know, a lot of the same ticks and tracks, tactics and all that kind of stuff work in saltwater surf fishing. So that's what I enjoyed doing, was just going out in front. We rented a condo and just walked right out front there, and I caught I hooked 11 different species. Only one got away. That was a Spanish mackerel, and they got, you think a pike or muskie has teeth. These things are razors, and it didn't take long to cut the line on the Spanish mackerel. But, yeah, caught an array of fish, including a Tyrannosaurus rex.
You did. You caught a, this is really funny because a lot of people don't know this, you caught a ginormous sturgeon on hook and line surf fishing.
Correct. It was just like any other hit. Boom, 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 tap, 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 11:30 in the morning. I'm using a circle hook, so I'm not really setting the hook. I just start reeling in, and next thing I know, I said, I have got something huge on here. And about 40 minutes later, I ended up landing a Gulf sturgeon, which was well over 6 feet long, probably 120, 130 pounds, somewhere in there. I never got an official measurement on it because it was, well, you know, I just stretched my arms out and said it was this long. And I knew as soon as I hooked that fish, it was had to be on some kind of an endangered species list or something like that. And I was correct. I mean, it's protected under the Endangered Species Act. So it is, you know, no keep. You know, you don't even really want to touch it. You know, I kept its head in the water and got it unhooked, and off she went. But, it's a very rare fish, but it's also an even more rare catch. So I was blessed to be able to land it on 20-pound test.
Now, that's crazy. A six-foot-long fish, approximately. I saw the pictures of this fish, too, because it was, I mean, you standing next to it, it was still big. It wasn't one of these things where Dave's sitting 5 feet back to make it look big. Dude, you were right next to that fish, and it was big.
Yeah.
And what, you know, what a lot of people don't understand is they have the ability, sturgeon do, to go from freshwater to saltwater.
Yeah, yeah. I knew there was sturgeon in the salt waters of the Pacific. You know, they go up the Columbia River and all that kind of stuff. I can never get this word correct, but it's anadromous or something like that. Basically meaning it is a fish that lives in salt water and then goes into the freshwater to reproduce, to spawn. And that's I was very, very near a bay inlet. There were some river systems called Perdido Bay, and probably that's where it was headed, was over that way to go naturally reproduce over there.
Now, this is speaking with David A. Rose here on Wild Michigan. Our website, again, wildmichiganradio.com. Sorely in need of updating, but it's there for you to look at. This was not only a big deal, as in big fish, light line from shore surf fishing, and the rarity of this fish, but the size and hook and line made it even more important.
Yeah, yeah. I was using a pompano rig that one of the local guys there, Dusty Hayes, he ties up and sells at Sam's Bait and Tackle there in Orange Beach. It's one of those great little bait and tackle stores I love. You go in there, it's kind of like the old mom and pop feeling. They got it. You just got to dig through and find it, you know, that kind of place. And so that was made of 20-pound test. And then my main line was 20-pound test. Now, I did have about a 20-foot shock leader of about 40-pound mono. Excuse me. And what that does is, you know, I'm casting out 5 ounces of weight or 4 ounces of weight.
Wow.
Or whatever ounces. So if I were to do that continuously on 20-pound, eventually I'm going to cast the sinker and rig right off. It's just going to break the line. So
mm-hmm.
I had a 20-foot section of 40-pound, which can take the shock of the cast. But, yeah, the main line was 20-pound, and so was the leader of the pompano rig.
That's crazy. David A. Rose, our guest here. And that could have been, had you had it measured, been some kind of record.
Yeah, it more than likely is the largest one ever reeled in on hook and line. And come to find out, I've been doing some other interviews with other people that are really in the know, and I don't think it would have been able to be registered anyway because it is an endangered species, and they don't want you messing with the fish if you hook one. They don't want you even, you know, manhandling it as little as possible. Don't even go through the rigors of trying to weigh it or measure it or anything like that. And which is exactly what I did. I just had a gut feeling in there.
Mm-hmm.
And so technically, I got some other people out there looking because I was using an 8-foot rod and they could kind of, you know, see the rod and the picture and this and that. They'll try and estimate it. And it still might go in some kind of a record book, but nothing official, again, because of its rarity.
Well, still, the opportunity to catch such a rare fish without even knowing. I mean, look, when we go out fishing, we have the ability to target a lot of fish.
Mm-hmm.
When you're fishing like that, and I know from experience that you don't know a lot of times what you're going to end up with.
No, especially in saltwater. I mean, it is, like I said, 11 different species I hooked all within sight of the condo, basically. And, yeah, you just don't know. And here's this behemoth prehistoric fish, and that was the proverbial needle of the haystack, you know, that kind of thing. But no, it's saltwater fishing is very cool, and I learn a little bit each time I go.
Yeah, I my wife and I went to Cocoa Beach and pier fished a few years back, and believe me, I hooked onto something. Everybody's looking at me like, what the heck do you have on? 10-15 minutes later, it ended up breaking the line, but all I know is it was big and it wasn't going to get reeled up that pier.
Yeah, exactly. And I did some pier fishing one day down in the Orange Beach area there at the Gulf State Park. They have a pier. And, yeah, it's amazing the different kinds of fish you can hook out there. I mean, I saw several different species from all the other anglers out there. And like you said, some of them, you weren't going to be pulling that thing up over the pier.
No. Sure. David A. Rose, our guest. We're going to talk a little freshwater fishing when we come back. You listen to Wild Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network, being brought to you by Not Just Guns, Cedar Street at 127 in Mason.
To everyone that has served this great country, keeping us free to enjoy the great outdoors, thank you. From Duran Martinez, and Team Wild Michigan.
I'm just trying to be a father, raise a daughter and a son, be a lover to their mother, everything to everyone.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. Getting you through this. I think we're at the real spring now. We've already gone through the fake spring that we had here recently, but I think we're coming into the real spring now. Of course, we had some warmer temperatures earlier in the month. Temperatures up near the mid to upper 60s, kind of warming up the water and warming up the air temps. Now, the air temps have gone down a little bit. Water temperatures, I believe, are still up a few degrees, which have really triggered the steelhead run here in Michigan. David A. Rose joining us back for the second segment. And, David, I've been seeing a lot of activity on the Facebook of people out and about catching some steelhead.
Yeah, I got some close friends there on social media, and they've been posting, hitting several of the rivers and whatnot around here in the northwest lower Michigan, and finding a few nice fish. And then, but the guys who have been surf fishing, you know, whether it's at the mouth of a river or a creek or just a deep drop-off along a sandy beach of Lake Michigan on this side anyway, yeah, they're getting some beautiful steelhead right now.
Now, you're on the west side. You're up near Traverse City area, where everything seems to be glorious during this whole pandemic thing. But I mean, this, you know what? This has been the one thing that's been so nice is when it comes to hunting and fishing. You know, this is a no mask required thing.
You can go fishing with your buddies. You may not want to ride in the same vehicle,
right?
But you meet up and you can go surf fishing, or you can do whatever. Or, you know, when earlier in the year, trudge in the woods for squirrels or rabbits or whatever, and yeah, you don't have to be wearing your mask to have a good time.
No, it's been a do what you dig kind of thing. I mean, if you want to wear a mask out there, that's your own thing. I mean, I'm not downing anybody, but I'm just saying that it's just nice to be able to get outside and breathe.
Yep.
And enjoy what we have outdoors. We got turkey season coming up here. Of course, leftover licenses. If you did not see the report on the Facebook page for Wild Michigan from the DNR, the leftover licenses are available. We got turkey season coming up here very soon, which I cannot wait for. That's my favorite hunting season, aside from bear hunting. I really miss that. I haven't done it in a while. But turkey season, definitely good. Of course, that corresponds with morel season, which we will have here very soon. But right now we are talking steelhead fishing with David A. Rose. And David, steelhead seem to have a different sort of life pattern than other salmon, than like the coho, chinook, things of that nature.
Yeah, I mean, steelhead, they are rainbow trout, a species thereof. The wild ones from yesteryear lived in salt water, ran up the freshwater to spawn, except it was spring versus fall, like the other salmonids. And sometimes, I mean, so on average, a steelhead matures to adult spawning age at about 4. So 4 years old, they went from that tiny little egg, you know, ended up as a little fry. When they started to smolt, that's the time when they go out into the Great Lakes, do their thing, eating bugs and crustaceans, getting big. And then within four years, they come up to spawn. And then some have been known to, after the spawn, turn around and go back out to the lake and live another year or two and keep on spawning. So that's when you see some of these very, very large steelhead. That's more than likely what happened.
Now, they live a pretty tough life. Let's call this what it is. As any fish does, I mean, they're born as food, and then they kind of live their life as food until they get to a certain spot where they're like, you know, we're not quite food because they're the biggest and toughest of what has survived that whole cycle.
Yeah, but even as adulthood, I mean, there's nothing that says a bald eagle isn't going to swoop over
right
as you're spawning and take you out of the river system, you know? So, yeah, I mean, mother, you know, everything in nature wants to kill you. That's all there is to it. You know, I just got done fishing saltwater. I don't even like to wade up to my waist out there because there's something that's going to bite me, you know?
Right.
And we're just spoiled here in the Great Lakes. We, the only thing that's going to bite us is ice-cold water or something like that. Yeah, they go from, like you say, they go from being the prey to being one of the top predators in the system.
You know, I'll quote my good friend Steve Swain, who was surf fishing one time, got a look on his face, turned around, and slowly walked back out of the water and said, you know, when they ask what happened, he's like, well, something brushed my leg, and it took a long time to go by.
Yeah, it could have been a big giant weed for all you know, but when you're out there and you can't quite see in the water and something's along there, it's like, okay.
That's why I like the Great Lakes, man. No sharks, no salt, no problem.
Yep.
But you know, I mean, and when we come at these steelhead, let's get back to the reality here. When we come at these steelhead in the spring, it's a little bit different than we go at them in the fall because they're putting on the feed bag about fall time.
Yeah, I mean, when they come into a river in fall, October, November, whenever, I mean, they're there to eat wayward eggs from the salmon and whatnot. So you got the Chinook and the coho that are spawning, you got the wayward eggs, and those steelhead go up in there and they're chewing, and, you know, the odd bug. And some of them winter over, you know, if they got enough food in the river system, eating nymphs and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, right now, these fish that haven't quite come up to spawn yet, they're also chewing on all sorts of stuff out there because they're trying to build that energy up to run the rivers. You know, their brethren who live in Alaska and whatnot, it's the biggest and baddest that survive and spawn, and they're dealing with major waterfalls and, you know, brown bears and big, you know, downfalls of trees and log jams. Where here in Michigan, they still have some waterfalls. They can go up and down or whatever, log jams, but it's just not quite as difficult. So, but they're still, that's bred into them. They're out there swimming around Lake Michigan, Lake Huron, Lake Superior, wherever right now, chewing on whatever they can find to chew to get the energy to spawn.
David, are steelhead the type that are just going to, if it goes by, they're going to put it in their mouth type thing?
You know, it's more than you realize, I think. I've been talking to people, especially we were just talking about this saltwater gig I've been doing here and catching all these different species and all the different kinds of baits that I've used, from, you know, live shrimp to dead shrimp to sand fleas to this, that, other, all sorts of critters. And all these things, I mean, these fish are just cruising up and down these beaches looking for something to eat. So obviously, if you got fresh spawn or something like that, the spawn bag, I mean, that's the A number one everyone goes to when they're surf fishing or even in the rivers. But, man, one of my biggest steelhead last year in Lake Superior came on literally a quarter-inch piece of nightcrawler with a little float above it.
Wow, no kidding.
Yeah. So these fish are cruising. They're looking for crayfish and bugs and crustaceans and whatever,
just
and spawn.
Whatever,
yeah, so
whatever's going to fill them to get them up the river.
Yeah. And you know what? Shrimp. I got some buddies, and I haven't tried it. And, of course, I've been fishing with shrimp like crazy the last couple of weeks in the ocean. But a half a shrimp, you brine them up, use those for steelhead. I know my buds have caught a lot of beautiful steelhead, brown salmon, you name it, on shrimp.
Wow, that's kind of interesting. Never really heard of that before. And, you know, shrimp are so expensive to eat. I kind of have a hard time putting them on a hook.
Yeah,
unless
you know, when you go to your local grocery store, and they'll have the farm-raised ones in the freezer section that, you know, $11 is going to give you 50 shrimp or something like that.
Right.
You can cut them up as bait. And it's one of the times I say, you know, fresh bait is always the best, whether it's fresh spawn or whatever. Try not to treat it with anything. But in the case, there are some companies out there, especially from the West Coast, you can take and you marinate your shrimp, for lack of a worse word here, but in a brine, which has a lot of krill in it and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to give it even more sense. So, yeah, this is one of those things. Go to the freezer department, grab some shrimp, find some of that stuff to get on there and get all that scent on there, and, yeah, you're going to catch fish.
Secret fishing marinade.
There you go. I like it.
David A. Rose, appreciate you joining us as always, man. And I want to send a quick shout-out to our good friend Bill Parker, Michigan Outdoor News, on the mend over in Lapeer. We love you, Bill, and hope the best for a quick recovery. More coming your way here on Wild Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network.
You can send your suggestions, comments, or questions to us here via email at outdoormailbag@gmail.com. Now, back to Wild Michigan.
Turn the quiet up, turn the noise down, let this old world just spin around.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. All over the Great Lakes State, being brought to you by United Deer Farmers of Michigan, a great group that we look forward to talking to in the next couple of weeks. Also, I want to throw a quick shout-out to our friend Bill Parker. I know I did this in the last segment, but Bill Parker, our good friend and editor of Michigan Outdoor News, was moving some tree stands around and had about a 20-foot fall a week ago, and ended himself in the hospital with a broken pelvis, a punctured lung, or a collapsed lung, rather, some broken ribs. shoulder broken, and you know, and but the good thing is he's going to recover. He's going to be a little slow and a little sore for a couple of months, but he is on the mend, and the GoFundMe, I am very happy to say, is over the expected or the asked for amount. So to each and every one of you that have been thinking about Bill or have contributed to the GoFundMe, thank you all so much on his behalf. He's a great guy, and we hate to see him sidelined like this. But, again, with all the thoughts and prayers and the help you guys have been given, I'm sure that he'll be on the mend soon. But we have that information on our Facebook page for Wild Michigan. And right now I'm going to go up to the Carl T. Johnson Hunting and Fishing Education Center up at Lake Mitchell in Cadillac. It is Ed Shaw, our good friend, interpreter for the Michigan DNR up there. Ed, how are you? Safely on the ground, I'm sure?
Yes, sir. I'm doing great. It's steelhead fishing season, and now that the ice fishing season's coming to an end, and I'm always excited to be on the water.
Now, here I want to know how your lakes look up there. I took a little drive around the local area around Lansing here out to Lake Lansing and some other places nearby. All the ice is all gone from here.
We're hit and miss. Some of the lakes, like Mitchell Cadillac, there's ice on them, but it's not safe. Do not go out on the ice. We're losing shore ice, and some of the lakes are wide open. Your lakes like Long Lake and Silver Lake that just, you know, Green Lake that just don't freeze very well to begin with, they're pretty much opened up.
And I'm going to say this real quick, Ed, and this is Duran Martinez, host of Wild Michigan, saying this, that if you feel the need to build a bridge across open water to get to ice and just be because you have a float suit on or something, you're dumb. You're just flat out dumb. Don't listen to the show, but please take our advice and don't go out there. But, I mean, it's just ridiculous. And I don't understand, because there's always somebody going in that has, you know, gone across open water on a ladder or something just to get to the ice. I have a serious issue with that.
And I'd like to tell you that I was never that guy.
You'd like to tell me? Damn it, Ed!
I'd like to tell you that I was never that person, but, you know, as you get older, you get a little wiser, and you realize that a few fish just aren't worth it. And, you know, like me, we put down the ice fishing rods, and I break out the blackfish gear and start heading down to catch some steelies.
You know, and that's just it, too. I mean, look, I don't mean, that's about as rude as I'm going to get on this show. I like to stay somewhat neutral, but I mean, common sense has got to take over sooner or later. There's always, a group or a couple of guys that get blown out on Saginaw Bay or go through and lately, because we have these float suits, they go through. But if you go under, like you said in a phone conversation, what are you going to push up against when you're under?
Yeah, there's no, I know we've had a few accidents this year. A few people have lost their lives on the ice, and I never want to see that. You know, it's sportsmen. I can't imagine a better group of people. I know, because I got a lot of volunteers that help me out with programs. While some of my colleagues struggle for volunteers, I'm never short of volunteers. And because of the hunting and fishing industry, I'll tell you what, I hope to never see harm come to a single one of them.
No, neither do I. You know, and look, I get a little angry sometimes at those who do that, but never once do I ever say anybody deserves that, because nobody deserves that. Just think a little bit before you go out. The open water will be here. You can get out on the boat or fish the shores, but right now we've got steelhead fishing going on. We just got done talking to David A. Rose a few minutes ago about some of the steelhead that are coming in. But in your area, how are things looking?
They're looking great. I'm seeing reports on Tippy and the Manistee that they're getting good runs. David Rose is a good friend of mine. We kind of live actually pretty close together, about 15, 20 minutes apart. And, you know, we're probably seeing the same stuff. And, you know, I highly encourage just people, if you're just not sure about steelhead fishing, we filmed some videos this year of the steelhead clinic, and I'll be more than happy to share them with you. It won't be the full-blown class, but at no charge, you know, let's get you rigged up, let's get you on the water, and let's get you fishing for some of them chrome torpedoes.
You know, and that's a good thing. Speaking with Ed Shaw from the Michigan DNR, he's the interpreter at the Carl T. Johnson Hunting and Fishing Center here on Wild Michigan. This is, I think, where the Outdoor Skills Academy has come in at the perfect time, because not only did you start out with in-class, schooling, but then you have field schooling, and now because of the COVID pandemic, you have online schooling that you can do, and then incorporate that with the outdoor training as well. But to have those videos and everything else is so handy for those of us trapped indoors.
It is the silver lining in everything. That's one thing COVID has really forced us to do as an agency, is that is become more comfortable with virtual programming and videotaping and getting stuff out there. It never stopped for us. It was a learning curve. But the good news is I've paired up with several other folks that do this professionally for a living, and they're filming our programs for us, and they're getting it out, and these will be great videos, and I can't wait to share them with people.
Yeah, you know what, and too, because people, you can rewind. Online, you can rewind. You can't do that in the classroom.
No, and the nice part is a lot of our fishing shows are, you see Minnesota, Wisconsin. Let's face it, Michigan is different. There's a reason why I always say some of the best fishermen are always Michigan fishermen. We fish pressured fish. We fish a different way. And, that's why they call a steelhead rod with the long handle on the bottom a Michigan rod. It's a Michigan thing, So it's helping people fish the way we fish here and be successful, and that's what we're all about.
Absolutely. Ed Shaw joining us here from the Carl T. Johnson Hunting and Fishing Education Center up Lake Mitchell in Cadillac. And before we get into real in-depth with the classes that are coming, what are some of the ones that you've had already this year?
We just wrapped up our wild turkey hunting clinic. I'm hoping to run another one in May. And we've had all of our ice fishing schools. I ran four of them a year. We have a couple beginners classes and some advanced classes that go on. And really now we're just transitioning into our spring stuff, like mushroom hunting and walleye clinic and our bass fishing clinics and the whole slew of things.
I think we're going to have another phenomenal year for mushroom hunting. The steelhead already turning on. The ice fishing has been pretty good this year since we actually had ice, good safe ice in most of the places that we like to go. So, with a little bit of rain and a little bit of warm up, I think we're going to have a great mushroom season. And who knows when it comes to antler growth this year. I'm getting a little ahead of myself. But it looks like we could have another good year all the way around.
And it's not too late to get out and tap some trees and do a little maple syruping.
And that's another thing, too. I'm seeing buckets everywhere. And, of course, the one with the broken branch in my driveway, making all kinds of sappy goodness for me to drive over.
Well, it's part of our schools and education is we're starting to add on more foraging stuff, more cooking classes and recipes. We surveyed our campers, which I'm proud to say camp nights are up 35% already this year. So if you haven't made your camp reservations, make sure you get them in. But, that really increases our programming and it just shows that people want to be outdoors.
All right. Ed Shaw is going to join us in the next segment again. Here on Wild Michigan, being brought to you by the United Deer Farmers of Michigan. You can find that link on our website, wildmichiganradio.com.
Michael Waddell's Bone Collector, and you're listening to my main man, Duran Martinez, on Wild Michigan.
Rifle in a gun rack, hanging in the back glass, book knife on my belt, ain't no lamp for sale. Around here.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, all over the Great Lakes State via the Michigan Talk Network, and all over the world via podcast on our website at wildmichiganradio.com. You can download the podcast absolutely free, courtesy of our sponsors, Conquest Sense, and of course, Not Just Guns, Cedar Street at 127 in Mason. Look to them for all of your ammunition needs. They are not shy on ammunition. That's a beautiful thing. Find them at notjustguns.com. But right now on the Conquest Sense hotline, speaking with Ed Shaw, interpreter for the Michigan DNR at the Carl T. Johnson Hunting and Fishing Education Center. And on Monday, leftover licenses for the turkey season 2021 went on sale. And I would suggest that you, if you're buying a leftover license, that you probably get there this week, because they will probably fly off the shelf, according to Ed Shaw. Last turkey season was a very busy turkey season.
Numbers were up, and I would add to that, you know, one of the things my students complained about were ammo sales and the skyrocketing price of ammo. But I encourage them that just because it says turkey load on it doesn't mean that you have to buy turkey loads to go turkey hunting. You know, you can buy regular four-shot, Remington or Federal, 2-3-quarter. You don't have to spend $50 a box on turkey shot. You can buy the less expensive stuff. That's all I've ever used for the kids and I. And, you know, we kill just as many turkeys as everyone else. And so don't think you have to buy a $50 box of heavy shot just to get out into the woods. You know, you can buy a $15 box of high brass 4-2-3-quarter shot, and you will do just fine.
Now, it's funny you bring that up, Ed. Just last year, I do believe, I went through the final round of my Remington turkey loads that I purchased when I first started hunting turkey, and they were in the old tree bark camo box. I'm like, man, there's people out there that buy a new box every year, and some go and practice and everything else, but... you know, I've been using the same gun, you know, just an old Remington 870 Express, nothing fancy, no gobble dot or anything on it, just a True Glow turkey choke on it. And it's been quite good, been quite successful with that gun. And it doesn't have to be terribly expensive.
Nope. I buy four shot for just about everything. And then I go out pheasant hunting, and I go out squirrel hunting and do all kinds of small game hunting. And I just buy one standard shot for everything, and that's pretty much what I use, with the exception of waterfowl hunting, you know, using steel shot. But,
sure.
You know, who says you can't use your steel shot? If you have a box of Black Cloud sitting there, number twos or something, go use those for turkey hunting.
Exactly. You know, but again, if you're kind of new to the sport of turkey hunting, definitely go out and pattern your shotgun, or maybe go out, if you haven't used it in a while, go out and reaccustom yourself with how that gun is shooting pattern-wise with that load you're going to use, because from personal experience, and my poor wife, who had a trophy bird come in at about 8 yards, it was dumb me that didn't teach her the closer the bird, the tighter the pattern, and she missed the same one 3 times. Not her fault, totally mine.
And a good friend of mine, Stacey Skaggs, pointed this out, you know, from Crosshair Outdoors. He teaches my turkey clinics with Steve Sharp, and they both, you know, agree that it's not a rifle. You want that pattern to be outside the turkey's head, because they move and they click and they move fast. But you want to make sure you have a quick, clean harvest on that bird. And one thing I learned, too, for beginners is don't put your decoys out in the field. Make sure you're putting your decoys over in the timber, because once that tom sees that decoy, they're going to hold up. You know, that hen's job is to come to the tom. Get those out there where the, you know, the toms can't really see them. So in order for them to see the decoy, you have a shot, and you'll be far more successful in the turkey woods this year. And I really wish everybody the best of good luck.
Yeah, the one thing too, you understand that turkey hunting in Michigan is very difficult, because there are so many of us out there. It's, you know, my good friend T-Bone from Michael Waddell's Bone Collector said, man, he goes, if you can hunt turkey in Michigan, you can hunt turkey anywhere in the country, because we have such pressure. And that old adage, man, where they say, you know, every man looks like a tree to a turkey, or every tree looks like a man to a turkey. And the other way, when in the deer woods, it's completely the opposite.
I've never heard that before, but I like it.
And if they could smell, we would never shoot one of them because of their eyesight, that 280-degree field of view they had. I mean, they can almost see completely behind them. It's just amazing, their field of vision and their clarity. And do not give up calling them, because if they quit responding, or they're a long distance and they respond, they can hear you. If they quit responding, they're probably close. So, you know, watch what you're doing. Call softer when you hear them close.
And we're hoping to get in another class, another clinic, to the classes have been filling up very quickly, and I feel bad for the folks that can't get in. Hopefully early enough in May where we can still get people out into the turkey woods and do a little hunting in May.
Now, what other classes do you have coming up, that are still open? Because we know since the beginning of this Outdoor Skills Academy, which we were there for number one, I'm very happy to say, that this has just blown up huge, and it's not just in the Cadillac.
Correct. And, I can't clone myself. I wish I could to run more classes. I'm literally running a class every weekend in February, March, and April. I physically don't have any more time on my calendar to run more, but I've got instructors that are doing things now. So we're bringing in our Mushroom Gale. That class has proven to be far more popular than I ever expected. She's going to run a few more classes for me this year. That's something that is easily done because I'm not the lead instructor. So all I got to do is order lunch. So I'm the gopher for those classes. And we're going to get, like I said, we're trying to add another turkey clinic. We got the walleye clinic coming up. There's not going to be a cap on that one because it'll be all outdoors. The walleye clinic at the Carl T, we basically go from bow to stern and go through the boat. We set the planer boards out like they should be. Obviously, it's out into the field, but not on the water. Last I heard, we are going to run the Bay City, the Saginaw Bay Walleye Clinic is a go, and a couple of mushroom clinics down there. So we've got a lot of other stuff. And if you like birding, a couple of my colleagues are going to do a birding clinic this spring on how to identify your birds both by sound and sight. So, and those are going to happen all around the state. It'll be a virtual school with field trips strategically placed around the state so you don't have to travel far from home.
Now, is there a website for these classes and everything else?
Yep. Folks can go to michigan.gov/outdoor skills, all one word, right on the DNR webpage, or you just in the search box type in Outdoor Skills Academy. It'll pop up. You'll see a great video Brad Parsons did for me of the ice fishing school, and all the classes will be listed. Now, unfortunately, a lot of them are full, but we still do have openings for a lot of others.
Yeah, and this is something, you know what, it's so cool. And a lot of these are low cost or no cost.
Correct. A lot of our introductory programs all summer long at the Visitor Center are free. So we'll run anywhere from 15 to 25 programs a week that are free to the public. And then we have other all-day or two-day classes where I charge right around between $25 and $30 for the class. And that's just to cover your lunch and your materials. And my boss always tells me, Ed, I know you. You're going to charge $25 and they're going to walk away with $50 worth of stuff. Well, the companies that we work with are very generous and they donate a lot of gear and stuff for students, and that's what they walk away with.
That's awesome, man. Like I said, we've been very fortunate to be part of one of the early classes to know that they've gotten bigger and have improved. I mean, I can't imagine improving on the class that we attended. We did on the bear hunting class way, way back when. But believe me when I say, these instructors are people that are passionate about what they do. A lot of them are friends of mine and friends of Ed's. And the fact that you brought Stacy's name up, I haven't heard his name in a while. So if you see him next, tell him I said hello.
Hello.
But, there's a lot of very good, very talented people that are far better at educating than I could ever be. Ask my wife. She'll tell you.
And that's the whole idea is I can't be an expert in everything. And the one clinic I forgot that's coming up that I'll still let people in if they shoot me an email, which they can get right off of the webpage, is the Whitetail Habitat and Food Plot Clinic. And I bring in our local DNR wildlife biologist, Vern. He's going to be doing the habitat part. And then I've got Nick Percy from Killer Food Plots doing the food plot part. That class will mostly be virtual, and then it'll have an optional field trip where you come and I'll show you all the components and how to put in your food plot.
All right, man. Nick's
a
good guy.
That'll be a great class.
Nick's a good guy from Killer Food Plots as well. So, man, again, more great people teaming up with Ed Shaw and the rest of the folks at the Carl T. Johnson Hunting and Fishing Education Center. Again, Ed, as always, thank you so much for your time and your patience with us here on the show.
Not a problem. Glad to be on.
All right, man. We'll get back to Ed again here in the next few weeks. Again, michigan.gov/outdoor skills. And make sure you visit our website to see our friends at Conquest Sense, United Deer Farmers of Michigan, and Not Just Guns. Have a great, safe weekend, everybody. We'll see you all next week. on Health Michigan.